talking with Mary Kay Thatcher from American Farm Bureau. Mary Kay, we're still kind of in the dark as far as exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen, regarding ag committee leadership getting sent into the super committee. Maybe the first $64,000 question, or a million or billion or whatever it is, will they get something to the committee, you think?
I think they will. I got to believe that it has to happen by this weekend, but I think we're kind of at the point where it's too big to fail and that they will come to some last-minute agreement and ship it over there.
What's going to be in there from what you're hearing at this point?
Well, the commodity title is still the hang-up, and I think direct payments are going to be gone. The acre program, sure. Who knows about target prices? And what you'll have left is crop insurance and marketing loans relatively unchanged. And the real issue is, what do we do with some of the savings that we got from direct payments and from acre? And most likely a shallow loss program will be part of that. I think the big struggle right now is that doesn't work as well for some commodities in some parts of the country, and we got to do something else. But I have to say, this idea of coming up with extraordinarily high target prices is not the direction that we want to go. I mean, we have done well the last few years, the last 20 years, about making sure that farmers were taking their signals from the marketplace, not from the government. And I think if we put in extremely high target prices, we're really turning that around, and that's not a good way to go.
Well, there's a lot of concern that some of the programs that are being talked about could have a lot of liability if you know, some of the things fall out of bed.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, you look at these high target prices, and that's going to be a liability with the World Trade Organization. I think it wouldn't take very long at all if we get really high target prices before we have another case brought against us, just like the Brazil cotton case.
Crop insurance, you mentioned it. It's obviously very high on the radar for a lot of farm groups, including Farm Bureau. It's a separate pot of money, though. How do we make sure it doesn't get raided?
I don't think anybody really wants to take from the crop insurance program. Now, you know, maybe there'll be a billion or 2 billion lost, but I think a very small amount. And I think most people, even if they're not totally enamored with crop insurance, realize that if we're going to have to do without direct payments, it becomes an even more important safety net, as well as the fact that we gave $6 billion away in the crop insurance program last year with the standard reinsurance agreement. So for the most part, I think crop insurance is going to come away from this somewhat unscathed.
Are you surprised at all? Are you just hearing the usual suspects from those that are really speaking out at this point that are against even, you know, any of these areas that want to just slash and burn on farm commodity programs?
Oh, you know, we've taken a real beating this year in the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, people just think, well, farmers are doing so much better than the general economy, which we are. They say, we don't ever need any subsidies. Get rid of all of them. Well, you and I know well that what goes up has to come down. And, yeah, we may be having a good year for most commodities now, but that won't last. And we got to make sure we write a farm bill that has a safety net for the times when we do need to have it there.
At this point, you know, going beyond just this farm bill, I mean, obviously the bigger issue, can the super committee succeed, or is it too big to fail?
I think it's too big to fail, too. Now, let me say that, you know, the super committee is supposed to save $1.2 trillion. And I think there's a 50-50 chance they can't get that high. I'm really kind of humored by the people who say, let's cut 3 or 4, because I don't think we'll ever get to 1.2. But even if they agreed on, say, $700 or $800 billion, we could still move that part through, include our $23 billion in cuts in the entire farm bill, and have that voted on. And then when we had to come back and have the across-the-board sequestration cuts in a year, you'd only have to have it for $400 or $500 billion instead of the whole $1.2 trillion. So I strongly believe we're going to be able to find a significant amount that they can agree upon, even if it's not the whole thing.
And how fearful are you of sequestration?
Well, it won't be pretty, and I never think it's a good idea to have these across-the-board cuts. I always think it's better to have people who are writing the legislation who understand the implications of, if I do one thing to one program, it implicates this one over here, it makes changes over here. So that wouldn't be a good thing. I think it would be much better if we can indeed do what we have now. Are we going to give $23 billion versus a sequestration number of about $15 billion? Yes, but I have to believe the committees will do it the right way if they do it versus just having to take across the board with the sequestration.
Would you see agriculture dodging sequestration if they came up with that $700 or $800 billion? Would they basically put language that they wouldn't be touched, or what?
Well, those are certainly the discussions that the four principals have had with the super committee on, okay, we're going to give $23 billion. That is three times agriculture's fair share, by the way. So we're going to give $23 billion, but then please don't come back and hit us again in sequestration after we already gave it the office. And while there is nothing in writing, I think that deal may have already been struck.
Regarding, you know, going past this whole Farm Bill scenario, a lot of things obviously out there right now, regulations as much as anything, and just it's almost to the point of being crazy. All the balls that are up in the air, whether it's GPSA, whether it's clean air, whether it's, you know, the dust, water standards, it's almost, I'm sure, hard for y'all to even keep your eye on the ball.
We spend so much more time on regulations, especially EPA, than we ever have before. But I have to say, in the short term, if I only had 5 minutes as a farmer to do something the next couple of weeks, what I would encourage farmers to do is write to the Department of Labor about this crazy child labor regulation they've put out. We only have till December 1st to comment, and, you know, they want to say that unless you've got a kid out there that is working for mom and dad, you can't do anything if you're under 16. You can't mow the lawn. You can't bale hay and put it up in the mow if it's more than 6 feet high. You can't help a cow calf. You can't be around a suckling pig. I mean, it's just crazy, and they're not making any differentiation at all if this kid's off working for grandma and grandpa or aunt and uncle, or if your farm is a sole proprietorship, you're okay. If it's a partnership or an LLC, you're not okay. These are huge implications. You know, we all value the lessons that we learn on farms as kids and the responsibility that we learn, and DOL wants to take that away for a large portion of agriculture.
Almost a nanny complex there.
Absolutely. And I think that their point is really that maybe they haven't done as well, quote, protecting agriculture as they have outside agriculture. But I think that what this rule shows is they don't understand farming and ranching at all.
What's the common sense solution on this? Do we just not need regulations here?
Well, there are common sense solutions. I mean, one of the things that I think makes sense is that, you know, personally, they say, well, we shouldn't have kids under 16 in grain elevators. Well, you know what? I think I kind of agree with that. But they also say you can't go and work at a grain elevator unless you're simply in the office. Well, what about the kid that simply has a broom and is out there sweeping the corn that falls off as the truck pulls off the weigh station? You know, there are things to say, okay, we're not going to put them in a hazardous situation like getting caught in a silo and not being able to get out. But there are other things they can do without just sitting there and saying all you can do is push a pencil.
Bob is for the American Farm Bureau Federation in their Washington, D.C. headquarters office, Mary Kay Thatcher. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.